Welcome to the Center for Internet Security's podcast, Cybersecurity Where You Are. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we are at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or even running a state or local government. Join CIS's Sean Atkinson and Tony Sager as they discuss trends and threats, ways to implement controls and infrastructure, explore best practices, and interview experts in the industry. We are here to bring clarity to these complex issues to bring confidence in the connected world.
Hello and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security, joined by the host with the most, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Tony Sager. How are you, Tony?
Great, Sean. Great to be back with you.
Absolutely. We have multiple guests today talking about a very important topic. One of the things we've been reviewing is cloud security. And an element of that is migration strategies and utilizing those from on-prem to cloud and making sure that there's a consistency, a continuity of control. So joined by multiple subject matter experts and let them have them introduce themselves. We'll start with first Charity Otwell.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, Sean. Charity Otwell, Director of Critical Security Controls here at CIS.
Wonderful. Thank you, Charity. Mia Lovada.
Hi, everybody. Mia Lovada here, Product Manager for the Benchmarks and Hardened Images at CIS. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And last but not least, Mr. Don Freely.
Hello, I'm Don Freely. I am the Vice President of IT Services here at CIS.
Wonderful, wonderful. So as we start this conversation off, Don, you know, one of the questions is, why are organizations moving to the cloud? What are you seeing as the biggest drivers that are moving organizations into the cloud today?
So there's several drivers. One is speed and agility. The promise of the cloud is that you don't have to procure hardware. Cycles are shortened. You can experiment. If projects don't work out the way you want, you just stop them. There's no long-term investment. Another one is scalability. You can grow and shrink your environment as the performance needs and the business needs dictate. And the third is promise of cost savings, which can be achieved, but is not as simple as some of the other cloud activities. We really have to design for the cloud to be able to achieve cost savings at scale.
Well, you're absolutely right. I think, you know, ultimately when we've had many conversations done in terms of ultimately cloud migration of certain capabilities, and we've always looked at those considerations, right, as being elements. But as it leads us to, you know, different conversations in the space, I think one of the consistent elements, and Charity, love your thoughts on this piece, because you can imagine with Charity as Director of CIS Controls at CIS, it's important that I make her happy with the way we're doing things here at CIS. And so, you know, Charity, as we entertain these elements, what are some of the foundational factors that you think about, again, putting into not only the guidance and the ebook that we're publishing, but also where you see for the wider community?
Yeah, absolutely. So while all of the 18 CIS critical security controls are designed to provide that cybersecurity hygiene and best practices for your cybersecurity program, three controls come to mind when evaluating a cloud security strategy. So first one being Control 15, which is service provider management. Secondly, Control 3, which is data protection. And then Control 4, which is secure configuration. So in 15 for service provider management, this control was really part of our version 8 release in May of 2021. And as you all may recall, the majority of us technologists had gone to a fully remote work environment due to the pandemic. So this control was really designed out of a live and real world scenario where the supply chain of who was managing your services became critically important, right? So meaning any third party that you're sending data to needs to implement service provider management, making security requirements more formalized into those contracts themselves. So, you know, most enterprises have software provided by and managed by service providers. In particular, sensitive data is stored in cloud services for these software providers. So Control 15 really addresses that supply chain. So, which is essential in managing your providers themselves and accounting for both your data and what to manage in that relationship for security. So the control includes safeguards that inventory the service providers. providers and establish and maintain policies and procedures. Additionally, service providers should be classified according to data sensitivity, volume, internal requirements, regulations, risk. All of those categories may not necessarily be applicable to each service provider, but should still be considered when you're managing that strategy. So in Control 3, specifically for data protection, making sure that there's a data management policy that would create rules around how cloud platforms should be leveraging your data. This could include, you know, data retention schedules based upon any regulatory requirements, and should also evaluate classifying your data. We mentioned that a bit in 15 as well. So maintaining that data inventory of what's there, what's not there. This should include a control list of who is accessing the data and who is allowed to modify it as well. Are you looking at only leveraging cloud providers that would encrypt your data? You know, all of these components should really be ironed out when putting your strategy together, and will help you to understand where your gaps are for who is responsible for that, which is a huge question, right? Which is part of our shared responsibility model. And then, of course, control number 4, which is secure configuration of enterprise assets and software, which takes us through not only the importance of securing the configuration itself for hardening against attacks, but the entire process, right, from operating system to the best practice recommendations around audit and remediation procedures. So this, of course, is referring to our beloved CIS benchmarks.
Great stuff, Charity. Appreciate that. You know, and it strikes me as I'm listening to you go through those, you know, kind of a naive view of cloud services and security is that it's the same old issues, just in a different, you know, different wine or whatever, in a different bottle. But it's actually much more than that. And it strikes me also that I'm hearing 3 cloud migrations happening in parallel here, right? One is the movement of our customers to the cloud. Sean and Don are thinking constantly about the CIS as a computing enterprise. And what does the cloud mean for us? But, you know, your domain has really been about the migration of our guidance to become more native. And this is a multi-year path for us, right, to update our guidance, to reflect what is, you know, has always been true and is true in the cloud, but also what is unique and different. So, Mia, I'd love to get your perspective on, you know, the range of things that we have available now to help our adopters and customers in their cloud migration.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tony. And Charity, thanks for queuing it up with the shared responsibility model. So when I talk about our resources, I like to start off specifically for cloud security with the shared responsibility model, understanding the division of security responsibility between the cloud consumer and the cloud service provider. So as a cloud consumer, you're just getting started. Where I'd recommend a CIS resource is the Foundations benchmarks. So these benchmarks are just that. They're foundational guidance to set up identity and access management, networking, monitoring and logging, the basic functions of your cloud account, ensuring that you have things like MFA on your root user account. Somewhat rudimentary actions, but what the benchmarks will provide you is not just here's the most impactful 50 to 60 security policies that you can implement in your account, but here's some nuances you should consider as well. As an example, with root user account, don't set it up on a personal device. Have it be a company managed device. That's an easy slip up with your cloud account. Somebody leaves, you no longer have the ability to recover that root user account if needed. So the Foundations benchmarks are a great place to start when you're setting up that account. Again, recommendations like setting up MFA, or if we're talking about AWS, disabling public access to S3 buckets. That's an obvious one, but again, can be an easy slip up to get access to your environment. As we start to talk about the Foundations benchmarks, they are foundational. They don't cover every single service of the 300 to 400 services in the cloud. Where CIS has started to expand is cloud service category benchmarks. We understand the Foundations benchmarks are a great start, but you're likely using maybe a dozen, 20, 30 other services. And what we want to help you understand is the shared security responsibility. When I'm using EC2, what am I responsible for as the customer? You're responsible for the security of that guest operating system, securely configuring that guest operating system. So 2 resources to get you started in your cloud environment, and a couple more I'm sure we'll dive into as we keep chatting.
Yeah, great resources there. And I think, you know, pointing out the nuances, there is really hard to address the range of different activities an enterprise will undergo, right? And so our goal is to, you know, get everyone to, there's some mythical 80% here that applies no matter what. But it, then you've got to be able to intelligently put guidance into context. You know, what does it mean in my particular situation? What are the issues? Where are the data and all that? And then the shared responsibility thing, I think, is, you know, it's the way we describe this. But I always remind folks, shared responsibility doesn't mean you get to share your accountability. Right? At the end of the day, the system owner, the keeper of the data, the legally responsible company officers need to do this carefully. You don't get to give away your accountability, but you implement it in a way that it's, you have to be very clear on what the service provider, their role in this responsibility is and what your role will remain. And that is, so it takes you to a different place, right? A different kind of coordination problem. But a great starter on this sort of thinking about, you know, this is not as simple as put it out there and see what happens. So Don, I got to come to you here because you hinted at some of the challenges ahead of folks as they think of this. So I remember distinctly, I'm going to share this with you, talking to, there was a complex issue back at the National Security Agency about data and, you know, being able to correlate complex things across multiple sources of data and multiple storage things. And a very intelligent person with multiple stars on their shoulder, you know, I was describing kind of the problems we were going to have here. And he looked at me and he goes, well, we just put it all in the cloud, don't we? I said, oh boy, he's bought some advertising slogan here. You know, it became like a magic thing, right? I've got all this complexity. I just put it all in the cloud and you know, it'll be fine. And all right, Don, educate us about some of the challenges that enterprises have to think about when they head down this route.
Yeah, so as you said, it's a challenge because it's a different model than what you do on-premise. The shared responsibility model is something that every customer really needs to understand because that varies even from service to service within cloud providers. Who is responsible? Not accountable, you're correct on that one. Who is responsible for what actions and what protection levels? And a lot of it comes down to making sure you ultimately have your data classified properly. That if you don't know what your data classification is, it's very hard to understand how secure it is and who has, and what the appropriate access patterns should be. But you know, when you're moving to the cloud, some of the things you need to understand is, what are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to get flexibility and speed? Are you trying to improve security? Are you trying to improve resiliency? All of those things can be achieved. And then the question becomes, how much risk are you willing to take in one step in migrating to the cloud? Because there are multiple ways to do that to minimize the variables you're changing. But again, that makes securing it an iterative process that you have to keep track of very closely. Because if you just replicate what's in your data and move it to the cloud data center and move it to the cloud, that's a step, but you haven't taken advantage of any of this cloud security models or cloud resources that are available to you to make improvements upon your data center. You just have moved it out of data center A and moved it into the cloud, and it's still running the same way. And that can actually add more risk if you don't pay attention to the nuances of how cloud security works.
Yeah, that's a great example, Don. Earlier, Charity talked about these sort of foundational things, right? And that step you talked about. I mean, many enterprises struggle with some of those earliest steps. Just knowing what you have, knowing what's important, knowing what's less important, you know, being able to manage, account for, and think, have a data strategy. That's what allows you to make these choices, right? Again, it's not as simple as let's just throw it out there in the cloud and wait for good things to happen. But I actually want to have this intelligently managed and so forth.
Right. And again, it's understanding the data classification and how you want your customers or your internal customers to access that data, right? There may be valid reasons for having a public S3 bucket. It's your company's website and you want everyone to read it and download white papers and PDFs from it. But you don't want to put your financials out there in such a case.
Yeah, completely agree, Don. I mean, I think ultimately it's this element of context, right? We've got to use the cloud in a way that both is conducive. But Charity, when I think about, you know, the implications, I think the guidance that we've provided both through the CIS Cloud Companion Guide obviously this upcoming ebook, fundamentally focuses on the relevant CIS controls. And just for the audience, you know, when I have a question about the controls and implementation strategies and things of that nature, I go to Charity, basically. We have had many long conversations. I mean, I think we could do probably a year's worth of podcast series, Charity, just talking about the CIS controls and our experiences with them. But we'll try and keep it within the time frame here. But Charity, when we look at the Cloud Companion Guide, you know, we've mentioned a few controls, 3, 4, 15. Why are those emphasized and why are they so important to think about as we're moving to the cloud, but both as cloud security, but also contextualizing the need for control in a new paradigm? In a lot of cases, to Tony's point, the idea is, well, we've just transferred the risk to the cloud provider, right? We're good. And it's, well, hold on a second. We're not going to wipe our hands clean. There is a cloud security model here and shared responsibility that we need to think about. But what are your thoughts there, Charity?
Well, you probably already know my thoughts since we could talk about controls all day long. So you're not going to be surprised by my answer on, you know, what controls are emphasized and why. Short answer, all of them. So the guide itself takes you through each of the 18 critical security controls and provides a visual and context around what does this mean to me as it pertains to my cloud security journey. So I think that that's incredibly powerful to have all of that at your fingertips within the cloud security guide itself. So what I mean by this is, as you know, one of the main challenges in applying best practice to cloud environments is tied to the fact that these systems operate under a different assumed security responsibility than traditional on-premise environments. We've heard Mia as well as Don talk about that as well, and really lends itself to the question on what are you trying to achieve, right? So there's often that shared responsibility between the user and the cloud provider. So in this cloud security guide itself, we identify who is responsible for the cloud security tasks outlined in the safeguards and what are specific to the service models. So the service models I'm referring to are you utilizing infrastructure as a service or a platform as a service or SaaS, software as a service, or function as a service? So throughout the guide itself, we take into consideration the unique mission and business requirements found in cloud environments. So the guide also examines unique risks, right? So vulnerabilities, threats, consequences, and the security responsibility to the cloud environment itself. So these risks drive the priority of enterprise security requirements, such as availability, integrity, and confidentiality of your data. So using this guide, which can be found on our website, the consumer should be able to tailor these CIS controls in the context of a specific IT or OT cloud environment. And it's an essential starting point, right? We've talked about starting points today for those who wish to conduct a security improvement assessment and roadmap. So
yeah, wonderful. And I don't think we do this alone. You know, I'm going to reference the Cloud Security Alliance and the work that we've done with them in the past. Myself and Charity actually had the honor of working with their CTO at RSA to do a breakfast session. And so, Charity, why is that important that we also look to other subject matter experts and other providers in the space to help us build I think sustainable programs of security within the cloud. Would that be the right way to phrase that, Charity, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I talk about a good bit in these sessions and different talks that we do, like the one that Sean, you and I did at RSA with our partners at the Cloud Security Alliance, are the importance of community and also other cybersecurity experts, right? It seems, you know, we're all fighting the same fight and want to do the best for our organization, our users, our customers, our adopters. It's incredibly important to keep these partnerships continuous and to be able to deepen those with other industry experts like CSA.
Wonderful. Thank you. Then, Mia, you know, one of the things as we traverse this element of sustainability and we then work through building an underlying capability within cloud infrastructure, obviously comes to mind the foundation benchmark, right, from CIS. Now, there are certain areas defined in this particular benchmark. You know, why are those so important to, is it to get this right? Is it set it and forget it and it's done? Or are these elements of continuity of security requirement that we have to be aware of from a risk-averse perspective?
Definitely the latter, Sean. So when we compile the foundation's benchmarks, the beauty of it is similar to the beauty of what we were just talking about with the Cloud Security Alliance. It's the intelligence of a global community. So we're taking the expertise from CIS staff members, the cloud service providers themselves, technologists, security practitioners, a global community of cybersecurity experts and technology vendors contributing to what they believe is the most impactful guidance for that specific technology. When we look at the foundation's benchmarks, we wanted to make them focused on primarily, you know, a few areas that we felt were the most important as you got set up in a cloud environment. So identity and access management, making sure that the right individuals have the right access to the right parts of the environment. That's been referenced implicitly and explicitly in this discussion several times. Logging, monitoring, making sure you know what's going on in the environment. You have the appropriate alerts set up for malicious activity or suspicious activity. And networking, making sure you have the systems you are using. You know, if you're using EC2 as an example, you have them set up in a way that you know, is secure for the use of the intention, coming back to the intention. What are you trying to do with your cloud environment? And have you set it up in a way that's conducive to operate securely? What I'll reference again is the shared responsibility model. I think that's incredibly important in this conversation. So I'll reference one specific component of that. When you're using on AWS as an example, EC2, Elastic Compute Cloud, using a virtual machine, you are responsible for the security of that operating system. You are responsible for the data as well. So that is an infrastructure as a service environment. That is one of the environments where you as the consumer have the most responsibility, the most security responsibility. And it's important for you to apply secure configurations. I'll use the example of the benchmarks. It's an Amazon Linux operating system. You may have 200, 300 secure configurations or settings that you're changing on that system. This is another kind of resource that CIS can help with. So I'm referencing the CIS hardened images here. My kind of transition was the foundation's benchmarks are your starting point, but as you get into other services like EC2 or S3, or any of the several hundred services, your security responsibility may increase. And that's when you need to look to other resources like some of the ones that Charity is referencing or the hardened images in the context of EC2 or the other virtual machine services in the CSPs.
Yeah, great summary, Mia. And Don, I want to come back to you on the question about this. You've talked a lot about the responsibilities and accountability issues. Could you walk our audience through, I'll call it the human and process side of this? How does this start? Who's talking? Who leads those discussions? Who calls those meetings? And what how does someone get started in initiating and leading this conversation for a company that allows them to take advantage of the technical resources?
Yeah. So I would, and then I have, you start with the data owners. Who owns the data that's going to be in the cloud, and understanding what objectives you're trying to hit by moving to the cloud. As we've said a couple of times, it's a shared responsibility for security, but the customer is always responsible for the security of the data, right? This is your data. You're not abdicating responsibility.
Yeah, so the data owner owns the data no matter what and where is your key point, right?
So you have to keep that at the forefront of everything. I don't want to use the word subcontracting, but you may be utilizing services from cloud providers such as, you know, platform as a service or infrastructure as a service, but that does not remove the need to protect your data and control who and what can access it, and how they can expose that data. Mia touched on a couple of things with identity access management. It's very important to understand before you start moving. That's very hard to bolt on after the security is very hard to do after the fact. So you need to take these steps and plan it out beforehand. Understand who has access to it, understand what the access models are, where the line is for the shared responsibility, what they provide versus what you have to cover. The cloud services are great things. They can take a lot off a company's infrastructure plate by doing some of the low-level activities for them, such as patching and maintenance and replacement of failed hardware. All happens behind the scenes. You don't have to worry about it. You can focus on what's important to the business, but what's important to the business is the security of the data. If you don't have a good handle on that from the beginning, your journey is going to be more complicated than it should be, than it needs to be, I should say.
Don, as I listen to you talk, it feels like we've had to develop some new skills in order to take advantage of this migration, you know, both for us at CIS, but also for our customers. Can you kind of walk us through, does that ring true?
Yeah, sure. So the skills are different in the cloud because the tools and models are different. The same concepts apply. Security infrastructure concepts still exist, but each cloud provider implements them slightly differently. So there are challenges in upskilling or changing the skills that the staff needs, and that's really important for a successful migration. You don't want to put your team in a place where they don't understand what they're managing. That's how mistakes get made, and less than optimal deployments are sent out to the world. There is a skill change, and cloud skills are not the same as on-prem networking skills and on-prem infrastructure skills. So absolutely, there is a learning curve that companies need to be aware of, and that needs to be addressed before you get too far down the road with your production environments.
Absolutely. Well, I think it gets to the point of sustainability in terms of being able to not only move to the cloud, but to keep it operating. Those are completely different things. So Mia, you know, as we think about organizations now, they're now preparing for their cloud journey. What resources from a CIS perspective do you recommend that they review before starting this journey? One, not only for awareness of their responsibilities, but also the skill sets required in order to do this effectively.
Absolutely. And Sean, I'll emphasize a component of the way you phrased that and coming back to Don's earlier comment, reviewing before the migration. So as Don referenced as well, security is much easier to do prior to the migration versus trying to tack it on afterwards. So the guiding light, the controls. So starting off with the controls cloud companion guide. As Charity talked about earlier, this guide gives you context of how do the controls apply to a cloud environment and how do they apply to the infrastructure, the four primary infrastructure as a service environments, infrastructure as a service, SaaS, PaaS, and FaaS. How do I take this recommendation in the context of one of the, I'm going to say it again, 300 to 400 services in the cloud? How does this apply to what I'm specifically doing? Starting off there is the guiding light. This gives you the holistic, comprehensive view of applying a cybersecurity program to your cloud environment. This will tell you within the first four controls, control four, securely configure your systems. So that's when we transition to the foundations benchmark. So they are incredibly important in a cybersecurity program. This is getting you started off with IAM, a really critical part of that program. Monitoring and logging, knowing what's going on in your environment, obviously networking as well. The last thing I'll mention as you get into understanding what you're doing, your goals for your environment, and securing the services, I'll say appropriately or to best practice guidance, is taking a look at some of the newer guidance from CIS in the benchmarks. Our cloud service category benchmarks give you an extension to those foundations benchmarks. Looking at areas that are incredibly common for cloud uses, storage, databases, trying to help customers not just getting started, but in that sort of second level of maturity in your cloud environment.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, Tony, as we close this out, we're now prepared for moving into the cloud. We've got all of our resources. We know the skills we need. And again, I just want to say thank you to Don, Mia, Charity. Great work. Looking forward to the ebook being published and getting this information into the hands of those that really need it, moving into this cloud infrastructure. So thank you very much. And Tony, thank you, sir.
Always a pleasure, Sean, and great to hear the work that we're doing here to support folks. And as we remind folks, CIS, we are a modern computing enterprise. So all the guidance that we give applies to us, right? This is living, breathing stuff for us. This is not abstract term papers that we're writing, but this is also the way that Sean and the leadership team, this is how we operate our enterprise. So really appreciate the work of this team to pull all this together.
Absolutely. And we appreciate you, the audience. Make sure to subscribe in all the usual ways. Remember to check out episodes every other Wednesday. And with that, thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the show today. The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS. If you're interested in learning more about how to grow your cybersecurity program, the free tools available to help you on your journey, or to get involved with the CIS volunteer community, visit our website, cisecurity.org. Start secure and stay secure.